Hello, and thank you for joining us on To the Choir Master, Grace Note. This week, it's just me, Andrew Hargett. This is definitely a lot more fun for me when Logan is here, but he will still be with us all in the form of his editing skills, and he'll probably make an honorable mention or two in this episode, and then we'll be back to our regular thing very shortly. So for this week's Grace Note, I thought it would be cool to share one of my favorite quotes, which will be actually quite ironic given that Logan is not here, and then I'll share a bit into how that ties into worship. So this quote comes from C.S. Lewis. It's in his book, The Four Loves, and I'm just going to read it out. "In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles is dead, I shall never again see Ronald's reaction to a specifically Charles joke. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. In this, friendship exists a glorious nearness to resemblance to heaven itself, where the very multitude of the blessed, which no man can number, increases the fruition which each of us has of God. For every soul, seeing him in her own way, doubtless communicates that unique vision to all the rest. That, says an old author, is why the seraphim in Isaiah's vision are crying, 'Holy, holy, holy,' to one another. The more we thus share the heavenly bread between us, the more we shall have." So first, for some backstory, Ronald that's being referred to in this quote, that's actually J.R.R. Tolkien, the same man who wrote The Lord of the Rings. So C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, and then Charles William were good friends. They met regularly to discuss literature, scripture, life, which I have to say, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in those conversations between the men who wrote Lord of the Rings and Narnia and then their friend Charles. Charles passed away before the others, which was really hard on Lewis, and it caused him this reflection in his book, The Four Loves. And so what Lewis is saying here in this quote is that we can only fully know someone through and in community. So I think about my wife, Beth. Our time together and alone is very precious. And without it, I could never know her well. We have to spend time together and alone to really begin to understand each other. But what if we only ever spent time alone? Would I ever truly know her? And could I know her as well as I do now? Truthfully, the answer is no. I've seen my wife spend painful hours mentoring high school girls through hard times, laughing with her girlfriends at the church over things I don't find enjoyable or funny, crying over the lost people she loves, serving the poor, holding Logan's baby while we record a To the Choir Master episode, telling me about things I shouldn't have said to someone else. Each of these experiences, sharing her with others, was not time lost knowing her. Rather, I learned more about her than I ever could have if I did not see and experience her interacting with others. I could never truly understand her compassion without seeing her serve the poor. I could not understand her desire for nurture apart from seeing her with a child. Her strengths, her weaknesses, her flaws all come out more clearly through community. So the more I contemplate this, the more I realize the necessity of things outside of myself and outside of Beth for me to know anything truly about her, or to at least to know her more fully. So this is the same principle that's true of friendships, like C.S. Lewis is describing, familial relationships, you know, between your parents and you and your siblings, even acquaintances and coworkers at work. Whenever we interact with someone, we see a piece of who they are. We see who they are in light of how they respond to who we are. But when we interact with someone in a group, we see more pieces of who they are and how they respond to who we are and who others are and how they respond to how we interact with others. And so basically Lewis is saying he missed seeing Tolkien or Ronald laugh at a Charles joke, and he could never recreate that. And I think like there are things that my wife, Beth, laughs about with Logan's wife, Rebecca, that I can never replicate. Beth simply wouldn't laugh the same, if at all, and wouldn't respond in the way that she only knows how to respond when Rebecca is around. And so that time spent with all four of us, you know, Logan, Rebecca, and myself and Beth together, is advantageous because I actually see more of Beth through how she interacts with Rebecca. So Lewis then expands this out to look at our relationship with God. Certainly our quiet times reading the Word or in prayer are beneficial, but so is community meeting together in Christ. I better understand God's grace and mercy when I see a drug addict floored by the grace God has given him to overcome addiction. I hope to never personally experience drug addiction, and so I'll never experience God's grace that way, except through someone else. And I similarly bring something new to the table for that drug addict that they otherwise would not experience of God. So when Logan and I prepare for our podcast, we see this as well, I typically write up a list of everything I think we should talk about, and then I usually sit back and I think, man, I have captured everything we need to consider about this song. But inevitably, Logan brings an entirely new and true perspective to the table about each line pretty much in the song. Things that I missed in scripture that I didn't think about, experiences I never had, progress in his walk that he's had that he can share with me. And so our very discussion for every episode, and in fact, probably the discussion for this episode even, would have an entirely different spin with his input as it would with just mine, because ultimately Logan has interacted with God in different ways than I have, and he's able to share that. So, you know, he could give this same talk alone on our next Grace Note and probably provide a completely different and equally compelling anecdotes to help demonstrate this. And so because of this, my relationship with God has always been furthered by those around me, like Logan, and by those that have gone before me. We discussed a little bit of that with Trey Martin in our previous Grace Note. That's part of why the Bible is written as a history, a continuous story with real life characters. I'm not just told in the Bible that God is love, which I can only partially understand from that phrase, God is love itself. I'm actually led to understand the depths of how God is love through his interactions with Israel and the prophets and the psalmists. We understand how God's interacting and working through emotions through the Psalms. I better understand all of God's attributes when I see them in light of those around me, and thus I come to better know all of who God is through others. This is true of the very Trinity, which is where, you know, through Christ, I come to more fully grasp the Father's forbearance against my sin, his wisdom in his plan to redeem mankind, his mercy and grace to accept Christ as my sacrifice, and his love to grant me eternal life. It's through the Holy Spirit that I come to more fully grasp the Father's power and the peace and joy brought to my life. These very things will continue on into eternity as we come to know and enjoy God more fully through God himself, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and through our brothers and sisters with their stories of redemption that will be similar to ours in nature, as in that they're through Christ, but they'll be unique in the details of how God met them with grace and with mercy, just like it's unique in the way that I was brought to Christ as a drug addict was brought to Christ, and unique in the way between me and Logan and me and my wife. So, but what does all of this have to do with worship, since this is a podcast about worship? And admittedly, this is a harder topic than I had once imagined. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while on the podcast, but I didn't foresee all of the events coming in 2020. And so right now, churches across the globe are having to ask the question as to whether in-home, live-streamed worship can replace a corporate gathering. So that full discussion is probably better left to the discernment of a team of your church leaders and elders that are fully seeking Christ themselves, and it's, you know, relative to your congregation and your area's specific circumstances. And I certainly believe that God can be worshiped apart from lights and electric guitars and even singing. And Logan and I did a episode earlier that you can go back and check about what to do if your church can't or decides to not sing right now. You know, so many factors must be considered beyond what I have the time to present today, so I can't really fully weigh in on my thoughts. Instead, I only want to present that this is but one evidence for the importance of corporate worship. Whatever that may look like in this present age, this time should not be one where we decide that corporate worship is of no use and is not necessary to the Christian walk. So live stream and things like that are potentially great options for you, but I don't want to take this time and say, well, therefore, live stream can replace corporate worship for eternity. And this, what I'm going to talk about here, will be one evidence for why that's the case. So in fact, I believe this principle of having more of God through sharing with one another that's actually going to be one of the main reasons for corporate worship. Certainly, we gather to encourage and lift one another up, which is described in Hebrews 10, 25. We meet to, meet one another's needs, as described by the early church in Acts chapter 2. We meet together corporately to praise God in a larger setting, which is very looking forward to Revelation chapter 7. But since knowing God is one of our chief aims and joys as Christians, this is a really critical concept in my mind for people to grasp. And, really, I think this is the charge in 2 Peter 3:18, where it says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what this concept brings to mind for me is that in order for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it takes a village, so to speak. It takes a community, because we understand more of Him through others. So I think, isn't it strange that we meet weekly and we sing songs together? This seems kind of like an odd thing. Why not just meet and listen to teaching or offer affirmation to one another that God is worthy to be praised and then be done? Why do we actually meet and sing? But I have found personally that few joys in the Christian life can rival singing beside a brother in Christ. I have the joy of sharing those experiences with Logan on a very regular basis. A few months ago, we were singing Bigger Than I Thought at our local church, and Logan was leading, and this was the week after our episode aired on it. So as we're singing, my thoughts start with this objective knowledge that God was quite big, and then I moved on to some of the analogies for our discussion. My brain works very analytically, and I just looked at this is the objective truth, and here's some analogies that we were able to come up with for our episode, and that's where my mind started. As the song progressed, I began considering God's bigness, for lack of a better term, in His overcoming of the many times of doubt I faced in my life. We're singing about, I cast all my cares before You, and my doubts and fears don't scare You. And so I start taking things that we discussed in our episode and applying those. So if I was at home, though, it might have stopped there. And nothing would be wrong with that. Those are great things to think about. God would have been praised, and I would have come to be reminded and know that God's bigger than my doubts, and that would have been really beneficial. But then, in this particular week, I noticed that Logan was deeply moved on stage and as he was leading it, and I was reminded that his foster daughter left earlier that week. I knew that what he told me about how the truths in this song were helping him through the grief of losing a daughter to an unknown life back at home. And, so what was a previously a largely academic singing of the song for me completely changed in that moment. My view and my praise of God's bigness transcended from an academic grasp to a desperation to need God's bigness, because I knew that that was where Logan was at. And so I have not yet and may never experience the same comforts of God that Logan felt in that moment when he was singing Bigger Than I Thought. But because of our community and because of our brotherhood, I did get to experience it in that moment where I felt the comfort of God through seeing Logan praise and sing that song. So in a body of believers, this happens all the time. And it's one of the reasons I love to worship with Logan so much, because when he sings, he helps me to see more of God than I ever could on my own. Many others in our congregation are the same. Songs of joy and sorrow both take on a new meaning whenever I see other people singing them. And I hope that in sharing my heart to everyone who will let me, both through this podcast and other things we do at our church, I hope that our congregation and anybody else who's able to worship with me will also see something more of God than they otherwise would have whenever we're worshiping together on a Sunday morning or wherever we are. So ultimately, nothing manifests itself in this way more than with the gospel. The testimony of those who've gone before us is powerful for helping us to see both our need for a Savior and the infinite reward of knowing Him. Seeing God work in others' lives helps to dispel doubts. Watching Him break the power of sin over others helps us to repent for our own sins. Singing alongside a freed brother or sister causes us to rejoice. And so the community surrounding us, thus, is a tool that God uses to strengthen the calling and the impact of the gospel in our very lives. In essence, the community is a necessary part of the gospel's power in being manifested in our lives. And so from the stage, I have a unique vantage point to look out upon a congregation and then see a physical depiction of what the gospel has done to each person singing. And I, in turn, praise God all the more. I think that is perhaps the greatest foreshadowing of heaven on this earth. One day, we too shall be more perfectly singing God's praises, and then, when looking side to side in heaven and seeing our brothers and sisters from across the world and across time also singing God's praises, we will know more perfectly what the power of the gospel is to have changed lives. We will begin then singing all the louder, and will stir up our neighbors beside us to do the very same in just a continuous and eternal praise and worship of God. So until that day, though, seek to know how God is working in those around you, and then praise God for his work in their lives as you sing corporately. This is our glimpse of heaven. Well, thank you for joining me on another episode of To the Choir Master. I pray that this reflection today would help you to love the community of believers around you even more and to rejoice in God for the work he is doing in their lives. So, you know, practical applications for this week's episode: learn more about people around you and their testimony, and then use that as a meat part of your praise whenever you're singing in worship on a Sunday morning or wherever. If you have people in your life, you know, whether that's a friend or a spouse or a family member that is helping you to understand more of God just through their very life and the way they interact with God, I encourage you, you know, share this episode, share this concept with them, talk about it, and use that as a very intentional means to grow toward God together. And, you know, if you want to hear more encouraging things like this and more reflections and conversations and song and lyric breakdowns to help you to worship God more fully and come to know him more fully, we definitely encourage you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you guys listen to podcasts. You can also connect with us and hear more about our hearts by joining us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You can also shoot us an email. We'd love to dialogue with you. You can reach us at team@tothechoirmaster.com. That's TEAM@tothechoirmaster.com.